Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things you treat the most, makes anything as title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro. Wow.
Blew it. Don't worry about
it. Fucked it up.
Eli is, unfortunately, there's a darkness creeping over the land, and he has been imprisoned in a crystal pendant, and he's waiting on the Care Bears to save him. I don't know if anyone's familiar
with
that film.
Hate to see it.
That's what's going on with him, so we hope he's back real soon. Everyone's just got to believe in the power of wishing and love or something like
Unfortunately,
that.
Unfortunately, if Patty got the intro right, he would have been freed from the pendant.
That's true. That was what the sorceress said. Yeah. So sorry, bud. Maybe next week. We'll see. But fortunately, we were able to secure a guest upon learning about this crystal situation. He is a comedian. He is a comedy writer. He is co-host of Jordan Jesse Go, a podcast that I have listened to for a very long time. And he is the author of the graphic novel Youth Group, which is available for pre-order now. Welcome, Jordan Morris, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I don't want to throw shade at... Thank you, everybody. No. Sit down. I don't want to throw shade at Eli, but I am recording from the gem on the top of a scepter.
Wow.
And what I did was I just brought my laptop and mic in with me, so I don't know what his excuse is.
Yeah.
I'm prepared, you know. I look at my calendar. If I'm about to be whisked inside a gem on the top of a scepter, I'm like, okay, well, I got to make sure to bring my laptop, bring my mic, bring the headphones, because I got a podcast on the books. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. He seems like a good guy.
But... No, you made it here on time.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know what his excuse is.
This is stuff that we normally keep off air, but I think it's good to air it out here, you know. I don't know what the Wi-Fi situation is inside the crystal. That's, you know, so maybe...
Use your phone as a hotspot. Sorry. Again, I know I feel like I'm coming in hot against this guy I've never met, but...
You could just turn your camera off and go audio only if the connection was bad.
That's
true. You could try.
Yeah. That's true.
Ridiculous.
But, hey, buddy, we're pulling
for you.
You
saying we keep this stuff behind the scenes implies that there is constant strife on our podcast that we're hiding between.
Hey.
Which would be very funny. I hope listeners have figured that out, that they think that we're just at each other's throats as soon as we... Stop recording.
I think like the implication of thinly veiled like loathing between longtime co-hosts is a winning strategy. I mean, like, it works for the Doughboys, right? That's like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so we're
gotta have, you got to have a little salty and a little sweet, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, that was one of our, plans for 2024. You know, we had our business
drama
meeting. And we need to just kind of make it seem like we don't like each other anymore. That's kind of it. So we're working on that. Not easy, it turns out, I guess. So
give things a kind of a Bravo vibe, catty Bravo kind of energy.
I can figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
I can start some gossip or something.
We'll totally.
I'll wait until like sweeps week or something.
Yeah.
Podcast sweeps week.
When Casper decides who to sell the mattress, who to buy mattress
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
So Shelby just got
us the big account.
A collection of drops that are the sound of someone throwing wine somehow. I don't know how he got them so fast, but they're ready to go. It's really quite something.
This is why we need to record in person more often, so I can throw glasses of wine at you
right.
guys.
Yeah. Call each other fake.
No tea, no shade, but why are you gagging, bitch?
Yeah, there you see. Yeah, you gotta say.
I feel like it would really change the energy of our podcast if we were all drinking glasses of wine while we did it. Like that would be a totally different podcast somehow.
I kind of like this idea of having like the wine episode, and we've got the mic in one hand.
We're doing it next in person,
and then
Shelby, break out the Josh, baby. We're doing it.
Oh, of course I get the episode before the wine episode.
Yeah, well,
sure. Well, the joke's on you because I got drunk before we started.
There we go.
I don't need your free podcast wine.
He's already gone off that Josh.
Right.
Yeah.
He's in. So, yeah, I mean, we have the wine, and then what? We start worrying about who. I mean, the most important thing, the biggest currency, I think, in reality TV that I've seen, at least the limited that I watch, is who does and who doesn't have each other's back. That seems to be the thing that most people are worried about, which is like Navy SEAL talk, right? Like, it's so funny that that has been basically like, you know, it's like, cover me, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like that, but about like people being mean at lunch.
Right. You know, that's like the, yeah, if you would have were my real friend, you would have come to my DJ set. You didn't have my back when you didn't show up at my DJ set.
This is exactly the same as Kandahar. Like, that's what this is.
It's a lot of people like skipping charity galas and then being really mad about it. Yeah.
In my limited viewing of this kind of reality TV, I have noticed that within an episode, you will hear five different pronunciations of the word vulnerable. Some people say vulnerable. Some people say vulnerable. But people are constantly talking about how vulnerable they're being, but everyone is pronouncing it a little bit different.
Sure. I'm feeling very vulnerable and frustrated. Frustrated right now.
Vulnerable, venerable.
Well, of course, they're all feeling venerable.
But it's something they're always talking about, it seems, how vulnerable someone is or isn't being.
One of the most excited that my mom and my sister, I sent a text. It's like, I think I just saw, and it was the lady who went to, I think she was the one that went to jail from the Jersey Housewives.
Okay, because you had to specify, because like a ton of them have been
sure. Teresa, did she go to jail? Right, she's the one who like slammed the table.
I think her husband went to jail.
Okay, well, whatever it is. Sorry, no, I'm not. No defamation. Okay, I take it back.
I love how we're kind of cobbling together little moments from shows we don't really watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what she looks like because I recognize
her.
She did too. So
she did
Shelby
too.
Knows.
Okay, thank you, Shelby.
That was the easily the most thrilled they've been in quite some time with me seeing someone in New York. It's like, oh my God, you saw Teresa? It's like, yeah. She took a picture with some people. That's what I. I should have gotten a picture too. I feel like when it's somebody when you don't care, you know, it's not someone you think is cool. You can like burn your New York credibility. Like, you know,
you don't need that lady to respect you.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Fine.
Exactly.
And I think too, you probably don't have to worry about like a reality star not wanting to do a photo. You
That's
know?
Correct.
Like, I bet if you see like Jared Leto in public, like Leto's method, he's all about the work. He's not about the fame. You know, he just wants to truthfully portray who he thinks Morbius is, right?
That's correct.
Like, right.
But a reality star, like, that is why they do it. So you are doing them a solid by coming up to them, you know, at the airport Cinnabon and wanting a selfie.
Jared Leto is so sick.
They're not going to feel disrespected as an artist.
Of course. Right. Yes. You know? You wanting the selfie means that they're doing their job right.
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 Like the way
what
that
you
like,
say about Jared Leto?
Well, Jared Leto, first of all, he's very sick of people coming up to him and asking him to sign a pig uterus or whatever. Right. Isn't that like the stuff
whatever
he mailed
to people while he was getting ready to play the Joker? Sure.
Or had messengered to them, or, you know, some studio, some mail, you know, script reader or something.
There's a PA, a courier, who's just like, Jared Leto told me to bring you these condoms.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know what they're full of. Okay. I didn't do it.
He's trying to get twisted.
My coworker had to fill them. You know, I just have to bring them. You know, that's how we
work. $400 a week and I don't have health insurance. Here you go.
I feel like the reality star is like the way that like, you know, getting a photo taken takes some of your soul. Like, they actually gain from, they're like, they've created the reverse scenario. Like, that's. I would say like the starkest comparison for me was like sort of like being able to lose your cool. So it would have been fine with Teresa, but like the equivalent was, I was like, it was the middle of the afternoon, I think. And I was working from home and I was walking around and, I walked directly past, and we were the only ones on the block. It was like, I was like, did that really just happen? Walton Goggins. Like right on the side.
That's big.
And he did.
Did you like make eye contact? Did you do anything?
He did like the little nod, you know, and I kind of was like, you know, I kind of tried not to like, you know, freak
He's
out
like,
basically.
I know you know I'm Goggins.
Right.
I feel like depending on your hat and t-shirt combo, he definitely would have been like, this guy A, knows who I am, and B, loves me.
Right.
Guy in the Michael Clayton baseball cap, right. Absolutely going nuts for me right
Goggins
now.
Goggins knows a Goggins fan.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that's a great film. You know, I mean, Yeah, so there was that. That was like the only other one that was like that, where there was the middle of the afternoon, like not a time when people are around. Empty Block was, this is like 15 years ago ish. It was on like in Kipps Bay, a place that made no sense for him to even be. It was James Gandolfini just kind of like shambling down the block. I feel like I've told this story before.
Kipps Bay, yeah.
And it was like, is this a ghost? Like, what is going on here? Like, this does not seem real. And he,
it was last year that happened.
No,
so
this,
it makes
this
sense
is 2006, to... we'll call it. Yeah, no, obviously it was a, no. Anyway, that's New York, baby. Only in New York.
You always see everybody. I've complained about this on the show before, but I know I'm around them. I just never recognize when there's a famous person around me. I never ever have.
I have very finely attuned. It's a curse, frankly. I wish I could dial it back a little bit, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Well, yeah, so. You recognize people that like shouldn't be recognized.
Right. Like, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first
like a character actor
the
from
good
a,
and everything
like two...
character actor. Yeah.
Yeah. The first person I remember seeing after like COVID, when like people started like eating outside of restaurants and stuff, you know, when it got like nice again and it felt like a little bit more safe, like not after COVID, like the 2020, like, you know, whatever. And it was I'm trying to think of what I could point to him having been in, but it's Michael Gaston, who is a big, tall, bald guy. He was in, let's see, Prison Break, Jericho, you know, look him up. You'll recognize him. He was like the real estate developer bad guy in Terriers, the one season of Terriers. He appeared at the end of that season, no season two. Yeah, so he's
you probably would have made that guy's day if you asked for a picture with him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. My level of fame is like so minuscule, right? Like I've had a podcast. I've been on some popular YouTube videos, and like every once in a while in the exact right situation someone will come up to me, like a comic book store in Portland, like that is that is exactly where someone might and it always feels great. I love it. I totally love it. And you know, maybe that's the Bravo star in me, but like,
sure.
Yeah, if someone acts, well, I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm like, this happens once a year. I'm going to be annoying to you now. I'm going to follow you around to make
do
sure
I, like,
you have
a drink or
yeah.
No. What are you doing after this?
I mean,
I feel like it's different if you're like, if you're you, because if somebody recognizes you, it's because they like what you do.
Yeah, sure.
You're not getting the like reflexive, like, I know who that guy is, so I'm gonna.
What have I seen?
Let
you
him
in?
Know.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're from.
Did
something.
I go to high school with you? Yeah, like, yeah. Where are you from? Yeah, it's like, oh no, I really like what this guy does.
Right.
Therefore.
It's not like what Judy Greer gets, you know. Like,
right.
Yeah.
how do I know you? And obviously, there are Judy Greer stans out there. I count myself as one of them, but. I think she's been in so many of those supporting roles that she probably does get that. Did I go to high school with you? A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my place for that is the Bell House in Brooklyn. Any kind of comedy or podcast thing.
Where when every podcaster is a celebrity.
When the lights come on at the end, there's like an even odds that somebody will be like, oh, hey. And like, I'm like, my thing is like, I'm just like, oh, you don't want
to talk
to
me. Watch the
like,
mountain goats.
Here.
Okay. You know, I'm just here to watch the mountain goats. I don't want to.
Yeah. That's, I've gotten recognized at mountain goat shows before.
Oh, yeah.
That's like one of the few places where.
Yeah.
It happens, but yeah, Bell House at a podcast recording is like ground zero for people recognizing us.
Yeah,
it's like basically the only place it can be
somebody making like possible. A reference that I don't understand because I don't remember from like something we said like 2 years ago. I'll be like, oh yeah, hey, okay, yeah.
Make sure to pick up the baby wipes, right? It is no, it
it's
is
very
it is
nice.
Like totally great.
Don't I feel like. Patty, I know you enjoy it, but the way that you did kind of do a mean voice when you were impersonating the person coming up to you. Mm. So I want to be clear, we do like
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, like, I mean, like, people feel like there are people who are like, I find it very surreal that somebody would be like, oh, hey, you know, kind of like nervous or something. And it's like, no. Like, this is like a mutual, like, you know, I'm like, you can't possibly want to talk to me. Like, I'm having the same fight or flight reaction you are probably in that moment. So,
totally.
But come say hello, please. Don't. I'm not trying to be weird. Somebody did recognize us, me in the airport in Florida, which is very strange. And we had masks on.
Nice.
I don't know how that happened, but That was a really good one. But
that's
anyway.
Somebody, if they recognized you with a mask on in Florida, that's somebody with your gift slash curse of facial recognition.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I would say so. Yeah, and just a lot of ability to triangulate, like, oh, he might be, yeah, yes, it's about, you know, like really, really nailing it. And if it wasn't me, you know, who cares, right? Because it's not like it's someone they're ever going to see again. So it's worth the shot, I guess, at that point. But nailed it. So anyway,
let's do numbers.
Do it.
Number five
comes to us from Tortured Bussies Department, which I believe is a reference to the Taylor Swift, the new album. It's a story about, I'm just going to read the headline here. 285-year-old lemon auctioned for $1,780. So somebody bought this old ass lemon. It was from the back of an old cabinet, and it's got a bunch of... Stuff.
Likely place for an old lemon to be.
That's, among the places it could be, it's certainly on high on the list. I don't know what it's got writing on it, which I get, and I'm not sure, if it's an incantation or what exactly we're looking at here, but it's this.
It was
in,
like a gift lemon. It says this person by this person.
Lemon?
You better eat that lemon.
Like gift fruit. I guess there's those gift fruit baskets with like Japanese pears and stuff like that. Maybe this is some sort of like Brazilian lemon that has a unique tart flavor. I don't know.
It's an edible arrangement.
Yeah, I don't know where lemons come. Like maybe it was a really rare to have a lemon in the UK at this time or something.
Yeah, it could be. I know this is an older meme. I feel like maybe some people are thinking it. I should just say it. Like, is this just for the world's greatest lemon party?
Mm. Yeah.
They're preparing. They've been preparing for 200 years. This is the prophecy.
We're old men. We need an old lemon to have our lemon party.
God. What are the odds any of the original lemon party participants are still around?
Zero.
I don't
negative
think
zero.
About that.
Long
it's like
dead.
When you see like an old like a dog in an old movie or something. Oh, yeah. That's what lemon party's like. Damn.
No. I hope they're
I wonder if those guys knew before they died.
They went out on top.
Yeah, they did go out on top. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
well, some of them went out on top. Some of them went out.
That was like their mission.
I am realizing now that maybe Lemon Party refers to one set of guys. In my head, it could refer to any photo of elderly people having sex.
Yeah, but it's a genre now.
Yeah, but it's not. It's just a couple of guys. It's not just any old people having sex that you trick someone into seeing.
It was three guys, right?
Okay.
I don't remember how many. In my mind, it was like way more.
No, I think it's three.
Okay. It was like, it was the website was like lemonparty.us.
It was
just had that picture
.org.
It
was .org.
.org.
It was a nonprofit.
Nobody's making any money off this thing, which is a mistake.
Yeah. And then it was just that one specific picture.
It was three. Yeah, three it's guys. Three guys. Two guys are kissing, and the third guy is downstairs, basically. So that's the lemon party, the
that's
classic
nice.
Lemon party. I've got Safe Search on. Otherwise, I'm getting ones that have like stuff drawn on them. So I'm having a hard time getting the full thing. Talk about it. This is extremely cured lemon. I don't know if maybe it's a Meyer lemon. It's hard to say. I don't know. I don't know if they would know or say if it was in the auction listing. But this is from the kind of place you would expect there to be a lemon auction. Shropshire, from Brettel's Auctioneers. And it's from a 19th century cabinet. All right. So they brought this old ass cabinet in, and there happened to be the lemon in the cabinet, along with some other stuff. And, the lemon got a ton of money, you know, $1,780, and the cabinet got $40. So, and the cabinet's from the 19th century. Like that's not new.
That's like better price than you could get for a cabinet from like Wayfair or something.
Yeah,
like,
that's
a good deal.
It's like we got plenty of cabinets, but we don't have a lot of lemons from back then.
We have an old lemon.
You know,
the lemon does look like. It doesn't look any older than when I forget a lemon in my cabinet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it shrinks anymore. Like, it looks like an old ass lemon here. I'll put a picture of it in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm doing a little Google here.
I don't know. I just like it. I feel like it gets to a point. It's like when, you know, those like at the doctor's office or whatever, they're like, this is a McDonald's meal from 1984. And it like never, it,
right.
The preservatives, can, that's like, yeah, I feel like that's what this lemon looks like to me. It's like, this 200-year-old lemon looks exactly the same as a like 8-month-old lemon, except that somebody engraved something on it.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's no like mold or bugs on it. Was this cabinet just so sealed? Is this just like the world's most airtight, liquid tight cap? I mean, this is an advertisement for this cabinet, I guess. If you want a cabinet where nothing can get in,
which is maybe this is just like the Joan Collins of lemons. You know, like it just doesn't age.
Doesn't age. Still looks great.
Yeah, man, there's this Joan Collins movie. We were on surfing around Tubi the other night because there was something we wanted to watch on there. And there's a movie that she's in from like the 70s called The Bitch, and they say and they say the bitch so many times in the trailer, and it's like 4 minutes long, and she's like a she's the bitch obviously, but she's like a gangster or like gangster affiliated in like London or something, and it's just
cool.
And there's also like a ton of nudity in the trailer. It's like, is this a porno movie? Like, what is going on here? Especially for when they were putting it together. Like, I don't know how they, you know, like in the 70s, I don't know how they're running that in any kind of real movie theater, you know, a regular movie theater rather.
That was like the 70s were like the. There were a couple years where they almost porn almost got to be real movies,
right?
So like. They did there. I feel like if there was a movie like that, that would have come, it would have been around that time where it was like,
yeah,
it's almost okay to show porno in movies.
And wasn't that and then kind of like, a just thing kidding, in this the is 70s for degenerates. Is like, it's an art film. It's a French art movie. And it was, you know, you could go and like, you know, see your tits and your dicks, but it under the auspices of we're seeing international cinema or something.
Yeah. We're so sophisticated that like, it doesn't even faze us that there are tits and dicks in this movie. Even though that's the main reason,
kind but
of
I'm guessing main, maybe the thing. Maybe the bitch is not that kind of movie though. Maybe the
probably
bitch
not
was a little more.
Did you watch it? You didn't watch
we
it.
We did not watch the bitch. No, we watched.
What did you watch instead?
We watched John McTiernan's first directorial effort, Nomads, which is
a
very strange movie. Pierce Brosnan plays a French guy, which is weird, and he's just sort of doing like a vaguely French thing. It's very hard to tell what's going on. The trailer for that is like, if you've never been scared by anything in your life, you will be by Nomads. And it's like,
this is your first movie.
Right. I mean, there's like a supernatural element to it. Fine. But like, they're like the Nomads, the titular Nomads are just like street toughs. Basically, they're like 80s like punk guys who are just like kind of smashing stuff. And that's like what's supposed to be scary. It's like they're following us, the Nomads. And one of them is played by Adam Ant, so that should give you a
kind of, that's cool.
So it's kind of like a
I feel like they just made a movie about how I felt walking home from school when I was in middle school.
Like teens.
Like that's what the teens were to me.
Well, there's like a possession angle to it as well. The grandma from Happy Gilmore plays a nun. And this was in, let's see, like the 86, so she was already pretty. She was like 60 or so back then. But I thought it was Lynn Shay, who was a horror movie mainstay. But because in one angle with the nun habit on, she's different. Anyway, Nomads. I can't say I recommend it, but we're doing all the we're doing all the McTiernans for Blank Check is doing it, so we're just catching up. One thing I will say that's very funny is that this is right after Remington Steele, I guess, or kind of in the midst of Remington Steele. So Pierce Brosnan was like trying to make the jump from TV to, you know, but he was basically playing James Bond at that point. So the idea that's like, you've never seen him before, a distressed French anthropologist. but the guy, somebody they had in consideration to play it before him was Gerard Depardieu, which would have been a very different film, I feel like. Although he wasn't as like wine bloated in the 80s, because now he's just like a walking, like, sack of gout, basically.
He's a gin blossom, yeah. Just a human gin blossom.
Who, like, renounced his French citizenship or something to, like, move to Russia to not pay taxes or something, I feel like. But way back in the 80s, he was maybe a credible lead for something like this. But anyhow, Nomads. And this lemon.
If you are looking, since you got Four Lions is on Tubi, watch that if you haven't seen it.
There you
it's
go.
Like one of my favorite movies ever. I watched it on there the other night, and I was like, they're giving this stuff away for free. What a world.
A lot of movies where Steven Seagal teams up with a rapper, too, if you want to watch Steven Seagal and a rapper.
So we got Exit Wounds.
Fight
poachers or something.
Yeah. We got Exit Wounds. Do we have Half Past Dead? Is that on there? The one with Ja Rule where he's in jail?
It's got to
right?
be. It's got to be. If it's not, what are you doing, Tubi?
I mean, Exit Wounds is, I don't know, I enjoy Exit Wounds. It's obviously preposterous that Steven Seagal is like, hey, man, you know, or whatever. But look, the very funny, Googling Exit Wounds, and it just said, the top, people also ask, is Exit Wounds a good movie? Do people really, like, they need to, that's how they check things
I'm
out?
I'm sorry, I don't enjoy the films of Steven Seagal. I'm a fan of his music. I'm only a fan of Steven Seagal's.
I'm a fan of his law enforcement activities.
Yeah, his policing is really good. Not a fan of the movies, but... I really love, you know, the kind of 80s, 90s trashy action movies, your Stallones, your Van Dammes, but I never, like, that affection does not extend to Seagal. I've never, like, gotten into Seagal in that way. Yeah.
Under Siege 1 and 2
are good. Why do you think
that
is?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, good question. I guess, you know, he's just very chilly. Not like those other guys are warm and fuzzy, but, like, you know, so humorless. Like, not even, like... They give Van Damme jokes in Van Damme movies, and he ruins them, right? Like, he, you know, no one can tank a joke like JCVD, but I don't know. They're at least kind of trying, and there's kind of a fun to it, but I don't know. Maybe I just, the Seagal movies are so, like, down the middle serious, but.
Yeah. No, there's, like, a joy in Van Damme, like, fucking up a, like, it's campy when he fucks up a joke.
It so is it,
like,
yeah, still, it really is.
It still has, like, some levity to it that I feel like Seagal does not even approach.
I mean, like, Seagal, that makes sense. Well, Seagal's whole thing was that he was like Michael Ovitz, like the powerful Hollywood agent. He was like his like personal martial arts instructor, and he was like, let's get this guy in a movie. Like, that was like the
this guy's great.
Yeah, and they did it, apparently. Wow, so okay. I mean, he screen tested him and stuff, you know, and all that, but yeah, so yeah, he was not. I mean, Under Siege 1 and 2 are very good. I know there's other ones. 2 is obviously ridiculous, but I mean, Under Siege 1 I think is legit, like, in the canon of those movies. I watched a one off of those actually this morning. Which is Howie Long's Firestorm. Has anyone seen that one? That's a real.
I've heard that's kind of great. I've heard that's a kind of a sneaky classic.
Yeah, well, it's an hour and 31 minutes, which is huge. I had never seen it, but it was one of those total, like, let's make this guy, you know, because, like, they did that in the 90s. Like, oh, let's put him in a, you know, who cares? We'll throw a couple million bucks at this. And he plays like a smoke jumper, so like a, you know, dangerous, you know, situation fireman, and there's a prison break. And it's just like. It's very competently made, you know? The action's not, like, super exciting, but who cares? He throws the axe, and then the way the main bad guy gets killed is, like, laugh-out-loud funny and awesome. I enjoyed it. You know, it, like I said, hour 31, that includes credits, so they get in, they get out. They get the job done, you know?
You gotta love that. You gotta respect it.
But it hits all the tropes and stuff, and, you know, hey, I would say, if you're looking for something to watch, I think it's on Max where I watched it, if you have that. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway.
That seems like a Tubi movie to me.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
I was definitely thinking Tubi.
It might be on both. I have no idea if it's an exclusive or not. You know, it's hard to say. You know, Max has to really. They're a little strapped for cash right now. They're too busy destroying art that people spent years making to get
a
tax write-off.
Struggling. They're like, listen, sorry, we're tanking these movies that people want to see, and we're just you know, we're just destroying them. But we do have all of Howie Long's filmography. So,
well, and I think basically that's just Firestorm and Broken Arrow, both of which I love. So, you know,
Broken Arrow's a fun one. I have warm memories about Broken Arrow.
It's fair enough. Okay, so the lemon, it's old. Somebody else owns it now. Hopefully they don't use it for any of their, you know, dark rituals or whatever, I guess. I'm not sure what an old lemon can, you know. Well, we know what an old lemon can do, I guess. We've all seen the photo. But anyway, let's keep it moving.
Number four. This comes to us again from Tortured Pussy's department. I'm sorry, I gotta say, your apostrophe is in the wrong place, Tortured Pussy's department. Superfluous apostrophe there.
Shouldn't it be IES? Shouldn't it, right? Or do we know how? I guess we don't know how it pluralizes.
I think it should just be BUSSYS, or yeah, I guess IES too. But there's no possessive there.
This is someone's screen name we're talking about.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So in our, which leads me into my segue, if you would like to submit stories to the podcast, you can join our Patreon at the $10 a month level and make your username something insane like Tortured Pussies Department. And then when you submit a story, we have to say it out loud. So definitely get on that. Our Discord is free for everybody else, by the way. You just don't get access to those special channels. This story, this is a real mixed bag for me, this story, because on the one hand, it involves Peter Thiel, who is just a real piece of shit, like one of the top pieces of shit out there. Yeah, just a terrible person, terrible politics, makes like horrible surveillance software that he sells to various governments. Wow. He's like a bad guy.
Okay.
But
we didn't talk about this. I guess we're not going to get any dark money funding for the podcast to start getting more and more reactionary.
I'm sorry.
You know, that was a business decision we could have made as a group. You know what I mean? And now we're out. So.
This is kind of part of the story, which is unfortunate, is it seems he's moved on from funding reactionary podcasts, which like I think everybody's out of the running now. But I'm sorry to, you know, really put the nail in the coffin of us, you know, like we probably should have been talking about Steve Saylor more if we wanted that money. I feel like that would have worked out for us.
Too bad.
Yeah, we missed our chance. But yeah, it seems like he's pivoting away from giving those people money. Because now he has a new idea, which is a steroids Olympics. So it's just like the Olympics,
boy.
Except you're allowed to openly use steroids. Okay. And as I said, this is a real mixed bag for me because like, fuck this guy. I would watch this. I think this is cool. Yeah. I already am a pro wrestling fan. I'm clearly okay with people taking steroids like for my entertainment. I've already made that like moral calculus in my mind that's fine.
So this would happen. It would happen like out in international waters, or
I'm assuming it's on one of the seasteading community, the oil derricks that he's repurposed as a house or whatever's going on there, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, at his like compound. I don't know if it's like, I don't know what the laws are around, or if they just like wouldn't drug test probably, but the idea is that people would be encouraged to use performance enhancing drugs.
Can you enter this Olympics if you're not on steroids, or do they have to like inject you with the steroids before you run the mile or whatever?
I think they need at least one person not on steroids in every event, so they can be like the pacer, so you can see.
Oh yeah, sure. How just a normal non-juiced athlete would do in this situation.
Which I think they should have in the Olympics too. I think like, somebody who is reasonably fit but not a professional athlete, or like someone who has trained, should have to do the thing along with all the other people.
Right.
So you be like, wow, this is really impressive.
For those events that are like, it's hard to have context for, like, you know, bobsled or curling, of like, okay, I don't follow this sport. I don't really know how difficult or, you know, this stuff is. And then, yeah, just have some random tourists try it first, and then you get to see what the pros do.
Yeah, I mean, they should get like,
even
they should,
like
they
running
should
or something. Like if everyone's running really really fast, it's hard to see how fast they're actually running unless there's like someone running regular next to them. I feel like
you monitor the chatter online and you find people who are like, I could do that, and then you're like, well, congratulations, you've been offered a chance,
right?
And God, then and
I'm
then
obsessed
they get to
do, with that with people being like. With people being like, oh, I could like score on Serena Williams or something. It's like, do it. Go do it.
You're in.
I want to see you try to do it.
I think this is the Olympics we want. I mean, the steroid one, fine. But the online asshole versus the professional athlete Olympics, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there was a show, I think, on like, I think it was on Spike or one of those, but it was called Pros versus Joes. And I don't think I ever watched it, but it is like, I think the idea is like, you know, oh, could you like get an interception when the ball's being thrown to Jerry Rice, or like, you know, that kind of thing, right? But yeah, I'd rather have it like be like, yeah, can you like just get like have like a, you know, because you know they're not going to injure anybody, you know what I mean? They're not going to be fast enough to like actually trip anybody or anything, but just have like the last spot in like a, you know, 100 meter dash be like a random person who just goes like hoop out of the blocks and like blows out both their hamstrings and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, let's just, you know, let's get that going.
A really good one of those right now is this women's basketball player, Caitlin Clark, who plays for the Hawkeyes. She's like unreal good. She's amazing. And people like men who don't barely play basketball online love to say that, like, you know, they could beat her 1v1 or something. It's like, that's all I want. I don't watch regular basketball. I want to watch that. That is like my dream.
Yeah.
If there was a show of just that.
Nike, this is your commercial. This is your next commercial. You find the shittiest online asshole and then just watch them get stuffed by a WNBA player.
Right. But yeah, so this steroids Olympics, I think it's a great idea. I'm sure it won't happen because it's this guy and like he just has these weird like wild hairs up his ass every once in a while and decides to try to make something like this happen. I don't think it ever does.
I'll admit that I know the name, but I'm not familiar with this guy's specific assholery. It's kind of stuff like this. It's kind of libertarian nonsense.
He was the guy who
brought down Gawker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's like
Gawker
lawsoit guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a PayPal guy, Facebook guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like a super libertarian tech asshole who now has a company called Palantir, which is like surveillance shit.
Oh, good.
But anyway,
you know the Palantir, the thing from Lord of the Rings that's like sort of not, you know, it's not like a, it's not an evil thing by default, you know, but that's the thing you want to have control of. Yeah, he also was like the face of. And when there were those news stories about like the blood boys, you know, people like using like recruiting people to like use their blood for younger.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so he's one of those.
Just sort of like he's a full stack villain, basically.
Okay.
You know, to use a tech term.
Yeah. He's stealing blood. He's encouraging steroid use.
Well, they're paying for the blood. It's not to be clear. I don't want to cast aspersions. I believe
he's not like chloroforming someone in an alley.
Correct. That's like that's a business transaction.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well,
it's
yeah,
a business
okay,
transaction.
You know,
and if
you
government would get
blood
out of the way, exactly.
Thank
the,
you.
You know,
yes.
Yeah,
blood work right. is real work. Yes.
This is. So, like, I just love his rationale for it. So, like, one of the guys who is doing this, which they're calling the Enhanced Games, and said it was to allow athletes who didn't win the genetic lottery to experiment with supplementation to boost their performance. So they're like, this is the democratic way to do this. It's like,
right. You gotta get,
we're
you gotta
not
get,
going by genes.
People got to get in the sewers and get that ooze, become the super shredder. That's the only way you can be in these games.
Right.
Wow. That's
finally
really
give
something.
Bebop and Rocksteady a chance to shine.
Yeah. I want to see those guys in the NFL Combine.
Man. Wouldn't that be great? More mutants in pro sports.
I mean, what Bebop and Rocksteady would mean, like, they would be amazing, you know, just like kind of like heel. Like, I mean, and again, obviously Vince McMahon is out of WWE and all that, but I mean, like, if they were like the heavies in the corporation in like the 90s, like that's you know what I mean? You just have like the two untouchable goons who, instead of like, you know, who
the
do you have, like Patterson and Briscoe, basically like two old guys who got like shoved down constantly, but were like for comic relief. I look, you know, I don't know how much this is going to cost. I don't really understand how I like this. Okay. There's a description here. The guy who's behind it predicted that the enhanced games would do for anti-aging what ChatGPT did for AI, which I guess launch a bunch of annoying news stories about it and kind of, you know, I don't really know what else there is there. But.
Make people lose respect for it as a concept? Sure.
Yeah, and I was like, obviously, if like it is so telling that like the asshole who's putting this together is comparing it to this other shitty tech advancement that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Right. That they think is going to revolutionize everything.
Well,
still.
The OpenAI guy had, there was a great post on X. I think it was yesterday or today. It was that OpenAI now generates about 100 billion words per day. All people on Earth generate about 100 trillion words per day. And it's like, so that's the metric here is how many words.
Yeah.
We don't, nobody talks, nobody makes anything. It's all content. And the important thing is quantity.
Amount of
AI
words.
AI is catching up. That's what we gotta.
This is, yeah. The I love that their mentality hasn't changed since undergrad essay writing. Like that's their exact metric for success. Good grief.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's basically yep.
Exactly. Anyway, I'll watch this if they end up doing it. I will not pay attention to this story until It is on my television, yeah. But I will
this
be
sounds like something good for Peacock. This sounds like a real, yeah. This would really put Peacock on the map.
I mean, this is like the XFL, you know, but bigger.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, I know there was a second time the XFL launched a second time right before COVID, so it was like, well, okay, back to the drawing board on that one again. but the first time when it came out, I remember watching it, and like it was like, this is so sick. And then I was like, oh, it's okay. Yeah, I wasn't like a huge football lunatic, so it was not really for me at that point. But hey, maybe we'll just get to see some guys pull each other's arms off or whatever in Greco-Roman wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that's the fun thing about all these people. If they're going to all be on steroids, all their muscles are going to separate from their bones immediately. Oh, like, yeah. That's what happens when you do steroids. You tear your pec just like throwing a baseball.
Rolling up like a shade in a window. That's what we're...
Yeah, what your tendons do, yeah.
Are we just inching closer to real Mortal Kombat? Is that like kind of where we're going, yeah. Of just like have two juiced guys whose limbs tear off easily and just put them above a pit of spikes and we can all have the best time of our lives.
Look, I'm going to go on record.
That's what War Games is. That's WWE War Games, what yeah. you just described. The, so, hell yeah.
You know, the Kumite should be real if it is not mm-hmm. real, and it should be televised. That's what I have to say about that. You know,
yes.
So it's,
it is real. I believe in it, but it should be televised.
Chun Li is real. His pec flex, and he's very strong and powerful, and he's my friend.
Folks, if you're enjoying this episode, you might also enjoy our bonus episode this week. Every single week, we put out a bonus episode on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod. You can join for $5 a month. We have tons of them on there. This week, we talk about some news stories, including why Cher urgently needs to speak with Paul Giamatti.
We also talk about some controversy at the Guinness Book of World Records, surprise, surprise, over the purported tallest matchstick sculpture.
And bonus, learn what a minced oath is. We'll tell you. Check it out. Number three.
Let's do it.
Number three.
Number three comes to us from a username that I found very informative this week. It is, does Shelby type in all caps? ? And you know, that could be a solution to the fact that the generative speech thing just refuses to learn the word it and only ever says it.
We asked Shelby before we started and we said
it could be the problem, but we'll have to see if it continues to happen.
Oh, my God.
No.
Because that one was both. It was it and it in the same sentence. So, again, you know, we're generating a lot of words, but we're still, we're narrowing the focus on what's going on with the words. Jordan, by the way, is that a Stanley that you have there? Is that one of those cups?
Oh, no. Thank you for inquiring about my cup. This is a SIM cup, not a Stanley. Unfortunately, kicked in the stomach at Walmart and missed my chance to get one. I think this is an Amazon knockoff, which I am very happy with. I am not getting paid by the SIM company, but I just snagged this online. Fits in my cup holder, keeps things nice and cold. I'm trying to do that thing where you drink a bunch of water. You know that thing they tell you to do?
Yep.
Yeah, that thing.
Doctors tell you to do, drink a bunch of water. So, yeah, I'm just trying to take down a couple of SIMs a day.
It's got a pleasing kind of chunkiness to it, I have to say. Anyway, we're going to bleep the names.
I'm a huge fan of this cup. Love the cup. Huge cup guy. There's wife guys and there's cup guys.
That's right.
I feel like you got to like... The drinking water culture we're in necessitates that everyone swear allegiance to some kind of cup or water bottle.
Right.
You got to just like pick one and go with it. You
so
know?
What do we have?
I'm a Nalgene person.
Yeah.
I love those microplastics seasoning my seasoning my water. I think it's great. Sim, S-I-M, interesting name.
Team
but,
Sim.
I like it. Patty, what do you got?
I'm going to be getting a Hydro Flask because I'm sick of the one that I have because it's like too tall and narrow and it keeps knocking over. It's this one. This is a, what is it called? Corksicle is the one that I have. And it's served me well. It's, you know, it's time
those things. Like I like them because they're very good at insulating. But if you knock them over, it's the loudest noise that can possibly be produced and everyone will turn around and look at you.
That's exactly right. And if you have a dog that you're just grateful is sleeping through the night, it is a
sideline Gatorade bottle that I never wash.
Now,
that's also a good choice. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Love a clear, just a purely clear fluid in a Gatorade bottle. That takes me back right there. That's classic.
Someone tweeted, which like really, apparently a lot of people resonated with this, where they were like, why do you need a Stanley Cup when you can just use the smart water bottle you got 7 months ago at the airport? And I'm like, damn, you really captured something about my life.
Yeah, yeah. Right. just go a little bit up from Aquafina at the gas station. Like, okay, what's the next most expensive water bottle? And just keep washing that thing. That's the proposal.
It worked for me for a long time, but then they scared me with the microplastics. So now I have an Nalgene, which is only slightly better.
Now you lost me there at keep washing the thing. That would not be part of my process.
You don't want to do it. You're like, you're filling it with water.
It's water.
you're washing it every time you use it.
Exactly. If by wash you mean refill, then yeah, right. I guess I'm washing it. Yeah, there's water
refilling
going in
it
there.
Is also rinsing it out. Right. Yeah, water's going in.
It's being rinsed into my body. It's fine.
It's like a cat just cleans itself.
Yeah, all those toxins. Yeah, this story has to do with water, so we were not fully off topic there.
Okay.
It's about whales and the blue whale, specifically the largest animal in the world. They're big as hell, as people may know. Balaenoptera musculus is the name, and one of the four subspecies is Balaenoptera musculus, which is fun.
The buffest blue whale.
That's true. The jacked whale. Upsetting.
There's a special Olympics for only this blue whale.
So drinks extra salt water to get, cut, to dehydrate. Right.
Yeah. So you can see its veins. Ooh, yeah. I don't like that. Yeah.
Sorry, whale's got cum gutters. Check out the cum gutters on that whale.
This whale looks like Zac Efron. What's going on here?
He's going to swim out to international waters and start fucking up other whales.
So these whales, they're out there. So I'm going to read the headline because, it sounds a little bit more interesting than maybe it is. Hidden DNA found in blue whales reveals they've been mating with other species and their hybrid offspring. Now, when I read that, I was like, what? Like, that's what could this mean? Like, is there like a squid whale hybrid? Like, what are, I'm just picturing.
I got to see these hybrids.
All the possibilities. It's just other kinds of whale.
That's still pretty crazy.
It is still pretty crazy. There's the fin whale. Which I guess, a lot of blue whales apparently have at some point mated with fin whales and
I feel like you can't have a species of animal named after an attribute that all of the other animals in that genus
like having
share,
a wing bird.
Yeah,
it's right. Fin whale, come on.
It's very like Santa Claus.
If it has like
situation.
A crazy weird fin, you got to name it like the weird fin whale, like the
sure.
forked
the,
fin whale,
the
or something.
Tipped fin. Yeah, right.
Something. Well, yeah.
Or is it?
Ah, here comes one of those rare mouth humans.
Well, exactly.
Maybe some people don't.
That's just referring to Joan Rivers. That's what they call. Let's see.
Zing. Ouch.
Got her. Fin whale or fin backed whale.
Roasted.
So I guess they were, and scientists have thought that those hybrids, like how a mule, right, is like infertile, like they can't reproduce.
Sure.
Apparently, they can reproduce based on the DNA they found, because they wouldn't have mixed DNA if they weren't. They call them a flue whale, F-L-U-E, which is cute. They sometimes look like unusually large fin whales with the coloration and jaw structure of blue whales, which sounds like if you were drawing it up, that's what it would be like. You mix their parts, and there they are. So... so that's, whales are out there. One assumes... There's only so many blue whales. You run into some inbreeding issues or something eventually, like there's only so much that can be sustained in a population. So you mix it up a little bit and you make the line stronger. It's probably a good thing. I mean, more diverse and resilient to, things that could change, which is all, I don't know if they can, they'll be resilient enough to resist the boiling ocean that we're sort of inflicting on them. But, that's a different issue, I suppose. But they love microplastics, I'll bet.
Super tasty, just like me. Apparently there are between 10,000 and 25,000 blue whales left.
Oh, that's a lot. So okay, never mind. They're fine.
That's enough. Maybe settle down on the fucking the other species, blue whales. You're not there yet.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Then you, we can start
I'm still willing to condemn this on moral grounds.
These whales are just like, oh, I'm so sick of the apps. God, I can't do this anymore.
I mean, yeah, if they're only 25,000, I get why you'd get sick of the apps. I mean, that's the population of a small town.
Sure.
Most people, I think most people in small towns are sick of the apps.
Right.
I would guess.
Keep
start dating somebody, it doesn't work out, you get back on the apps, you're like, oh, these are the same 10 whales.
Oh, boy.
This one just chatted a bunch and didn't actually want to meet up.
Classic.
Ghosted me.
Classic, whale, app whale. Fuck whale behavior.
Why don't we exchange numbers? Take this off this app. This interface is way too,
Oh, it's glitching. It's so glitchy. Give me your phone number. It's so glitchy on here. Fuck off. I'm not giving you my phone number, whale.
I need to get like
I'm
a
definitely talking about whales here.
I need to be like one step of intimacy, communication wise, closer to you than you were comfortable with. That's
right.
That's how I. That's
no, give me some information I can use to look up your address. That's right. What I want from you.
Yeah. So that's what goes on with these whales. So that's why they're looking outside the dating pool, so to speak. And but for them, it's going great. I don't think we have an equivalent option, unfortunately.
I mean, we don't know. Maybe. If we don't know if we could make a mule with something else, just saying.
Maybe we could all be very happy with a coyote.
Right? We don't know. I'm not saying we should try.
There is only one way to find out.
Yeah, that's what the apps are for. They're just trying to make dating other human beings so demoralizing that people branch out and try to create human animal hybrids.
Oh,
that's
boy,
the
that's
ultimate goal
plan.
Of the creator of Tinder.
These fucking tech bros.
This is all it's all, you know, Lovecraft had it. They want everyone to get the Innsmouth look. They're trying to drive everyone into the sea to go worship Dagon or whatever, right? Is that the right one? I think that's the right one from that story. Yeah, that's cool about whales, I guess. You know, I mean, hey. It worked for us, you know, millions of years ago. Was it millions of years ago?
That's
probably,
true.
Right?
Yeah, that you are right. That like it's not like there are Neanderthals out there now. The way that blue whales have fin whales, or that's probably the Neanderthal Homo sapiens of the sea, most likely.
Yeah.
Have you done one of those tests where they tell you if you have Neanderthal DNA?
No, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, those exist. It's apparently a lot of us do.
What do you do with that information if once you have it?
Feel weird about it, I guess.
Well, the main benefit I want from that is for the government and people that hack the service to have access to that information. So is that something that I can get if I do that? Is that part of it? Because that would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
I
like to make simple tools.
I love to hew an axe. No wonder I'm the Neanderthal.
No wonder I'm always discovering fire.
No wonder I react in fear by smashing things and screaming.
Right.
I was going to say Tim the Toolman Taylor should take that test. See how the meter is going to break. I'm just assuming.
Oh yeah, he's
going
to be 100% pure caveman. He's not going to the ballet. No ballet for this caveman.
That's right. I don't think so, Tim. Okay, well, I think that's it for the whales.
You got a little Al Borland energy coming off you.
Yeah. Man, remember when Richard Karn was going to do NFTs, and then he was like, just kidding, I'm not doing NFTs.
I thought
that rocks.
That is, that is one of the, like, that will go down as one of the great Twitter posts of all time, won't it? Richard Karn just having a nice photo of himself at like an Italian restaurant saying, I've thought about NFTs and I don't think I'll do them.
Just like, okay.
And then I think he also signs them, right? Isn't it also like Love Richard or something?
Anyway. There's a little prayer and hearts, and it says, I've thought long and hard about NFTs and I've decided it's not something I need to do. And it's like, got him.
I wish Twitter, but it's brought us a lot of joy.
I wish other people were like that sort of egoless about just changing their mind about something on a dime. Yeah. That's like so beautiful. He's just like, I thought about it after everyone yelled at me, and I was like, the people yelling at me were right. Like, yeah. You know, I have never had that response to being yelled at. Like, this is a call out to me as well. That has never, ever been the result of people yelling at me about something. So, like, I just really admire that.
I'll admit that I thought part of the fun of that post, the part of the reason why people were loving it so much, was that it just kind of seemed to come out of the blue. I didn't realize that he had, like, announced that he was getting into NFTs, and then that was a reaction.
You thought he was just like, I've been doing some thinking.
Yeah, just, like, he wants to weigh in on the issues of the day.
Yeah. Well, he got hit with a million of the Tyra Banks, we were all rooting for you gifts from people that, you know, had not thought about him since 1996 and
right.
Realized he had to, yeah.
Hey, good for him, though. Either way, good
yeah,
for him.
No. Well, my favorite thing about him is his bio on Twitter, on X, excuse me, says, big news coming soon, which is like classic Hollywood,
right?
You know, hustle.
That's
guy
awesome.
Stuff.
What's it gonna be?
That's an amazing permanent bio.
Big
to
things
have.
Coming.
Yeah,
taking some meetings. The Will Weldon meetings retweet run, the classic.
Oh yeah, those were fun.
Meetings in L.A. Iconic.
What was Karn's post Home Improvement career like? He hosted Family Feud for a second, right?
Yeah.
Is anything else? I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of those guys. Like, oh, he's been on a CBS procedural for 10 years, but
I think he was
in for sure.
I think he was in some. He was in a couple shows. I think he did like Hallmark stuff. I think he plays like the dad when the. You know, the
when you go to the small town at Christmas,
right? I lost my big advertising job, and I have to go back to my hometown.
He's Christmas Dad.
Regroup, and he's there. I think it's that kind of thing.
Makes sense.
I'm looking at his. I'm looking at his IMDb. A lot of Christmas stuff. Check in to Christmas. INN. Assuming you can tell what that is. One thing that he's in that I would love to know more about is a movie called Horse Camp: A Love Tale, T-A-I-L.
Sure. Oh, love it. that's him fucking a horse, right? It's gotta be.
That's him fucking a horse.
It's gotta be Karn fucking a horse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So he's in like the sort of later Air Bud universe. He's in Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch. And then he plays the same character in Air Buddies and Snow Buddies, which are all puppies.
This is great. I'm like happy for him learning this. Like, those are probably that's probably a very fun acting career to have.
I think those people on those movies have a good time. I do need to share one more piece of information about Horse Camp: A Love Tale,
please.
Which is that I was on the IMDb page, and it lists the writers, and one of the writers is George Saunders, but not the one that's the famous,
not the novelist,
celebrated author. It's just like, George Saunders wrote this? Like,
gotta pay the bills.
What is he doing?
The literary novels, aren't selling like they used to.
It's
you got to crank
Lincoln
out a couple of horse
Bardo,
movies,
and then this
right.
Horse Camp: A Love Tale.
One for me, one for them. That's Saunders.
Yeah,
one for me, Lincoln at the Bardo.
Yeah,
one for them.
Yep.
This horse fucking movie.
I mean, people don't know this. You know, Air Buddies, written by Ted Chiang, the famous sci-fi short story author.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
There you go. No. He was also, this exposes that I have not seen this show, but Richard Karn was in a lot of episodes of Pen 15. I guess he was maybe somebody's dad or something.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Supposed to be great.
That's fun.
Supposed to be great.
Yep. One of those.
So haven't watched it.
Check that out.
We should do number two, though.
Let's do it.
Number two comes to us again. Tortured Pussy's department just killing it this week. 3 out of 5 stories. Wow. Who are your sources, Tortured Pussy's department? I'm curious to hear what you guys think of this. I initially thought it was nasty, which is why I chose it. But now I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's all right. There's a bill, House Bill 1597 in Tennessee, which proposes naming one of Tennessee's state foods as hot coleslaw. And apparently, this is a really popular dish in Cleveland, Tennessee, which this bill would also name Cleveland, Tennessee, the hot slaw capital. And I believe this coleslaw is spicy, but I also believe it is hot in temperature. Just like hot, mayonnaise-y, spicy cabbage. Huh. Apparently very popular in Tennessee.
You know, just to get out of the way, I'll say it. Hot slaw sounds like a sex thing. We can move on. Yeah, I mean, I like when there's slaw on a, you know, on a chicken sandwich or something like that. So I guess I don't need it to be ice cold, but I don't know. Yeah, this makes me feel weird.
Yeah, I just feel, yeah, it's unsettling. It's like, I don't know. I feel the same way. I like it on a sandwich or something. I do hate when it's sweet, though. When there's like any sweetness to it, I'm
sure,
like, this is
yeah.
nasty.
Yeah.
This is absolutely vile.
And I guess just the combination of heat and mayonnaise is unsavory. But you can have a vinegar slaw, I guess.
Yeah, I think this one definitely has mayonnaise in it, but I totally agree. I think, like, I love... I'm not gonna like turn it away, but like hot mayonnaise or hot lettuce on a sandwich is vile to me. Like, absolutely not. Yeah. Like, even on like a spicy chicken from Wendy's or something, I'm like,
right.
I don't need this slimy, mayonnaise-y piece of lettuce. This is not helping anything. Get it out of here.
Lettuce on a sandwich in general kind of don't need it. It's nice to have a little greenery. Sometimes you're getting some textural pleasure from it. In general, though, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be like cold iceberg lettuce. And it's like just for the crunchiness of it. That's the only kind of lettuce I will abide in a sandwich.
that is my least favorite kind of lettuce. Like,
yeah?
Are
you going arugula on here?
Arugula on a sandwich is all right. I think I'm okay with arugula. That has a little like flavor. It's kind of like adding. You know, I think like a very green, you know, butter lettuce like that has some. I don't know, the kind of the flavorless crunch of the iceberg is not. Pleasurable to me, but I know it is to others.
I can't get enough. Love it. Well, I can get enough. I'll say that.
Yeah,
it's not that great.
At some point, you're like, okay, I've had enough iceberg for today. Just taking a head of iceberg and going to town.
Okay, so I guess this, like, they need to change this name, and they also need to change the very misleading image on Food and Wine magazine, which shows a bowl of steaming coleslaw. That's the header image.
Okay.
Apparently it is not hot. Yes. I'll send the picture. Apparently it is not hot in temperature. So our Tennessee listeners can...
Our contingent of listeners in Cleveland, Tennessee have been going wild
freaking
for the
out.
Last few minutes.
They sit down to listen to their favorite podcast with a nice bowl of hot slaw. And what do they get? Slander. Slaw slander. Terrible.
Yeah, this photo fucking
That's the
sucks.
Worst kind of slander.
This is just a bad stock image quick Photoshop.
Food and Wine is trying to trip up podcasters that do 30 seconds of research before they pick the stories. And
How
I am
dare they?
Not okay
How
with it.
How dare they?
But yeah, I just feel like this sounds good, but I feel like Tennessee has a lot of good food and this would not rank, like, given what I know about food in Tennessee. Mainly they got the hot chicken, which is the best.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's like you have that. The world loves that. Run with it.
The world
right?
has really given the thumbs up on that in the last couple of years.
But I guess maybe that belongs to Nashville, right? So maybe this is Cleveland saying, like, we need to set ourselves apart from Nashville. We're not Nashville. Right. Kid Rock doesn't have a restaurant in us. What can we do?
We're not even
What's
the main
the Kid
Cleveland
Rock restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's several other Clevelands that people think of before us. Quick,
What's
start
the Kid
heating
Rock
up
restaurant?
Coleslaw. I think there's one in Nashville.
I pulled it up. I had to remember because I thought ass was in there somewhere. I think it might be. I believe it's called. It's on like Broadway. It's like on the big stretch of kind of all, and it's Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse.
Jesus.
And this was the big thing. We're like,
could they throw more like phrases in there? Big ass
gun toting.
Number one. Shooting.
Tooting. Yeah. It's
rooting and tooting.
Beach Boys barbecue blow up bash blast. That's what I think of when I hear that.
Yeah. Bash blast.
It's got Beach Boys. All right. So yeah, Beach Boys. There's already. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, this is the place where he like said like, we're not selling Bud Light, and then like they caught him drinking Bud Light, you know, or whatever.
I mean, who could resist a delicious Bud Light?
The stupidest thing in the world, and inserted himself into it, and then got caught. But it's like two blocks away from like Tootsie's and
Rootin' Tootin' Rope Shootin'.
Oh boy!
Well, thank you.
That's probably a lyric of his. Who knows?
It's gotta be.
Like in the song Cowboy, there's a lyric where he says it, like, do something that he wants to watch lots of crotch. That is one of the things he wants to do.
Watch lots of crotch. Oh boy.
Which you got, you know, that is like supremely disgusting and funny. Just bizarre, like not even
so weird. Yeah. Like, yes, raunchy and gross, but also like no one had ever said that before he said that.
Right.
He invented that.
That's what he wanted to do when he headed out west to become a cowboy.
You want to head downtown, hit the bars, and watch some crotch?
Watch some crotch.
Watch lots of crotch.
I kind of respect that creativity.
Yeah, it kind of rhymes. It's fun. Yeah, that's
watch lots of crotch.
It is a shame that like Kid Rock like came out and did so much like shitty transphobic stuff, because he is like such a great punchline, and he is like such a like fun thing to dick on, but now it's kind of like even like I don't know what's this fucking guy, right? It's frustrating
because he's gonna run for Congress or something, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
that's where we're
absolutely
headed,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
We don't need like, this isn't...
And like Ted Nugent before him, I like, it's sort of the same thing where it's like Kid Rock is such a funny character of like American mythos, like that there is this guy like this, and it's like even extra funny that he's like totally inauthentic, that he like grew up in a mansion
Detroit
in Michigan and yeah.
No, he's from fancy like suburbs of Detroit. He like grew up with money.
Yeah.
Like his whole thing is exactly.
It just like that whole thing is so perfect and hilarious, and then he had to go ruin it by being exactly like that guy actually is always.
Please, if you're listening, Guy Fieri, never tell us your opinions.
Yeah.
You're
do
too
not.
Much fun to have fun with. It's fun to goof on you. Just don't tell us what you think about public restrooms.
Yeah, we have to protect the entire like Cabo Wabo. Everybody who goes to all celebrities who go to Cabo Wabo. We got Hagar. Yeah. We gotta protect
our own. Don't tell us anything.
Don't tell us who you're voting for. Don't tell us about you what you think about high school sports and who should play them.
Right. That's right.
I will say that is something that like is very admirable about Jimmy Buffett to me.
Yes.
Just like could have done all that and it would have fucked everything up, but he was like, nope, I'm just gonna do my fun little concerts and run my retirement community.
Right, my flip flop songs.
Well, he was like, because I know this because she wrote an op-ed like centering herself in the story after he died. But he was like a big, he was like good friends with Maureen Dowd. He was like a huge like calling like Trump.
I know he
like
ended up befriending Warren Buffett.
Oh, okay. Well, that was faded in the stars, obviously. But no, Jimmy Buffett was like pretty. He was like, you know, standard kind of like, you know, like MSNBC like watcher politics,
okay,
basically.
All right, that's nice to hear.
I believe that,
that's
but nice he never like made it part of his thing.
Correct.
Right.
He might have made an occasional comment, you know, like on stage or something, and then you know, he's the audience there. Like that's a real test for people like that. If they're like big Trump people and they're at Buffett, it's like if Buffett says Trump is bad, it's like, oh no, what do I do? You know, what do I do type thing. And I think probably the answer is you just kind of shut off that part of your brain for the rest of the show,
because
he's about to do, you know, he went to Paris or something, and you can't you're not gonna walk out, you know. So
anyway. Too late for that. Anyway, Memphis has a bunch of other foods that are better. They have obviously whiskey, Tennessee whiskey.
Oh yeah.
Pulled pork, Nashville hot chicken, fried pickles, ribs. They got a lot of stuff that I would put over coleslaw.
Yeah, Jesus, right?
Saying. Yeah. But hey, good for Cleveland, I guess. Let's see how big Cleveland is.
Not just the other Cleveland, just like something, you know. Cleveland 1B.
If you, yeah, if that Cleveland is beating you, oof, that's rough.
Right. yeah, and I guess Cleveland is kind of used as a stand-in for, like, generic city, right?
Yeah, a second place Cleveland is, like, that's a tough... That's a tough spot.
And again, there's probably some Cleveland, Ohio listeners who are like, we have a rich history of something. I'm sure. I'm sure you do. I would love to visit sometime. Please show me your delights.
I bet it's great.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Tennessee, population 48,000. So they're like, they got some people there. Okay. It's not the tiny middle of nowhere. But good luck to them on their coleslaw quest. Let's do number one.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
I just want to take a moment to bask in the phrase coleslaw quest. That is the strangest video game ever created.
I was going to say that sounds like the only type of video games that I play. It's like I'll play Ace Attorney, Animal Crossing, and Coleslaw Quest. That's what I got.
It's a cozy game.
Yeah.
Let us go on a coleslaw quest.
Let us go on a coleslaw quest.
Oh, nice. Solid.
Yeah. all right. So number one comes just from Hello Smashly in the Discord. And it's this is a tough one to read about here. But basically, so somebody at an office of a multinational company, big company, was on a Zoom call I guess transferred $26 million after the discussions were had on the call, which they thought were with their coworkers, but it turned out they were the only real person on the call. Everyone else on the call was a deep fake of one of their coworkers or bosses.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Really? Yeah. And like, okay, transfer the money now.
Yep. And
wow.
They found publicly available audio and video of the people on YouTube and use technology to emulate their voices. God. I don't want to hear about this as I make a podcast currently.
Right. Make a podcast over Zoom.
Yeah.
I
will never call mom, dad, anyone else. I will never call you for help. If I commit a crime, you'll hear from a lawyer, not from me. That's a different kind of scam, but it's harder to keep up than just thinking it's my voice. Anyway, so it's this person, just a real bad beat here. You know, I guess, you know, they thought it was the real people. They made 15 transactions, you know, and there was a CFO, I guess. And then after the conference, the scammers followed up on like chat and additional video calls. So a little tough to have like multiple calls where you are wrong about it being. I mean, maybe they didn't know the people and they just thought it seemed like a real person. And that was, you know what I mean? Like, If it's
they
should have
caught on
company,
when their coworkers wanted $26 million in Google Play gift cards.
Right,
well, that should have been the tip off.
Right, those were the transactions that they made. Right. Yeah, that's
wanted me to go to a 7-Eleven to get them.
Yeah.
Did you know, like at 7-Eleven and places like that, if you go in and buy a bunch of Google Play gift cards, they're like, just so you know, this is you're probably being scammed. Like they check.
Yeah,
with
do they
you
know
if
the
you're going to buy that?
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I know in California they do that. I think there's some like company policy or law or something that it's like 90% of these are bought because someone is being scammed.
That's what's keeping Google Play in business.
I feel like they have to really like be careful how they approach that, because it's like, are you sure you're not being scammed? It's like, not me. I'm not getting scammed. You're probably getting scammed, you idiot. Like, you have to be like, oh, so what are the gift cards for? Oh, yeah. You're okay. Your son-in-law is in the Mexican prison, and this is the only way you can send money to get him out on bail. Okay, does that sound that? Huh? That that sounds right to you. That sounds real. And then they're like, well, now that you, you know, I think I'm going to go. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you need to like kind of walk them to it, not just be like, hey,
well,
it's probably
that's a lot
by
of responsibility
way.
For right. for a 7-Eleven clerk.
Correct. Yes.
Well, the only reason I know about this is because on my other podcast, which is about scams, we covered a story of someone who got this was part of the mechanism of the way they got scammed. And they said, like, yeah, the cashier brought this up to me. He like gave me this piece of paper that was like had all the information on it of like, warning, you know, this is a common scam. And she still didn't like Yeah, she did what you said, Patty. She was just like, nope, I definitely need to send Google Play gift cards to the police department so they don't, so my license as a social worker doesn't expire.
Right.
Yep, this is what I need to do.
Oh, fucking so, weird.
Yeah, man.
It's like, no, I'm not, you know.
I'm not a dummy.
Yeah, nobody's tricking me. It's the,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so that's...
I never want a job where I have access to $26 million to transfer to someone. Maybe I'm not ambitious. I don't want that kind of authority in my life.
That's access you don't need. Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel for this person. This is obviously, you know, I'm sure they've gone over in their head like, geez, you know, I should have probably noticed it here, or maybe I could have done this, or, you know, maybe the company should have better, you know, stuff in place before these kind of transactions.
Maybe the company should have less fake-looking people working at it.
That's true. Yeah, they need to move the sliders more on the create an employee screen. You know, it's, if you keep it kind of down the middle, everyone looks. It's not good.
Maybe everyone was just at this company just goes really, really hard on the touch-up filters, so it like didn't look that different. Right. You know,
yeah, they all look like the MAGA ladies, like the grandmas, where you can like all you can see like the hint of a nose and like
yeah,
maybe some
yeah, they
teeth.
Look like Calista Gingrich. That's what they look like.
Yeah. This is a bummer for this person. I don't really know what else to say there. You know, I don't know. I kind of don't want to know how this person has reacted to this. Very negatively, I assume, but hopefully not any kind of self-harm situation. But it's pretty rough stuff. You know, I guess keep an eye out at work if somebody's trying to do a Zoom with you and be like, by the way, can you make these series of transactions? We're all set, right? Maybe that's
would at least be like, can you send this in an email so we have like a written record
right.
that this much money is being moved right. on your authorization?
Oh, by the way, it's going to come from an email address that looks like it's like complete nonsense, but that's just, it's fine.
Security protocols.
My phone's acting weird.
Right.
My phone's acting weird.
It's glitchy. Give me your phone number.
Yeah.
Right.
You may have previously gotten an email from the same address that said we have video of you masturbating and threatening to release the video to all your coworkers and stuff. That was like an accident. That's unrelated to this. Don't worry about it.
Do they still do those? I loved those. I got one of those that was just worded beautifully.
Yeah, they're very poetic with the wording. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Whoever was writing those, I would love to hear the like story of how those were generated. The one I got said, I see you are a fan of Onanism.
That's awesome.
Which is the most beautiful way to say,
yeah.
I have a video of you jacking it. I see you. Oh, I'm a fan. I love Onanism.
Oh my God. You're being blackmailed by a classics professor.
Right?
That is amazing. That's so good.
Yes.
Wow.
I see you are a fan of Onanism.
If you wish for your, you know, filthy secret to stay enshrouded in shadows.
Yeah. It's where do they, like, it's written like one of those. Like the five paragraphs of throat clearing before you get to an answer as to when you're like some, you know, those websites that are like SEO like websites, but it's done in like a weirdly baroque way. It's like a lot of people are wondering this, the answer to this question about this thing. And a lot of people have asked,
how do
about,
I roast chickpeas?
Like,
I just need to know how to roast chickpeas.
Many people are asking. Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to get scammed here. Just get to the point.
I'm trying to get a virus.
Right.
Also, there's something
just
to those.
Install the spyware on my computer and tell me how to cook chickpeas.
There's something to those jack off emails, too, that like really assume how much shame you have about masturbation, right? Like,
yes.
It assumes that, like, you know, I feel like at this point, right, like we're all in a zone and, you know, this could just be our culture that we're a part of, us here on this call. But like this idea of like, if people knew you touched yourself impurely, it's like, I don't know, whatever. People jack off. I don't know. You know, it happens.
Yeah. No, that like
we tweet about
say,
it. We do podcasts
I do
about
not,
it.
Obviously, I do not want a video of that coming out.
No,
I don't
sure.
want that to be on
of
the
course,
Internet.
Of course.
But if it is. That's everyone else's problem.
Yeah.
That's not like that's do with that what you will, but like yeah, I feel like most people are like, wow, that's terrible that someone released a video of you doing that without your consent. Like, I don't know. I really, I don't feel like there's, I would not like it, but again, it would not be like, oh no, my secret's out.
Right, exactly.
Oh no, everyone's going to know. No. Everyone's going to know. I've been a very naughty, just like it's like ridiculous language.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
I've been visiting illicit websites. Where the darkness rears its ugly head.
Yeah. And then they like, what, they want crypto or something, right? I don't remember. The last one I got was a long time ago, but it was like, I wouldn't even know how to do that if, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not right. worth the amount of time I need to figure it, like, to learn. I'll get scammed in a different way, like setting up a crypto wallet.
Getting the crypto.
You know, like,
yeah.
like this is, yep. you know, which is, I'm sure they don't care about, but it's like, buddy, all my money's gone. I can't pay the $800 because it's already, I entered my credentials into the wrong thing and it's over for me. So, you know.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. If you're so like not tech savvy that you're going to get scammed by that, you don't know how to put money in a crypto wallet. Like,
right.
And then the scammer has to like walk you through like a tech support call to get your money, like while still trying to maintain this like sort of sense of malevolence about it.
Right.
Like, just seems very difficult.
That's like some guy in like the UAE who's doing this for
kicks or
whatever.
Go into settings. Yeah,
right.
Okay, so
you
now
see
what?
A wheel, click on the wheel.
Yeah, with like a voice changer. Mm-hmm. Very good.
That's the best strategy, bore and annoy. Like, if they're not getting anywhere and they have to like keep investing time on the chance that you finally connect on it, it's that's the best way to defeat the scam people.
Yeah, waste their time.
Okay.
Or annoy them.
I don't see the email. Did you send it yet? I don't know.
Chuck maybe spam. It's a, Chuck spam.
Right. Maybe it's in my spam.
How do I get to spam? Go to the sidebar.
Mm. Have you updated your browser? When was the last time you updated your browser?
Yeah. Well, I have AOL, so is it on my PC, saved on my PC? Is it in that folder? It's like, oh God.
Who uses an AOL email? Hotmail, Jesus Christ.
It's like, you're using the AOL like program, not even just on the web? Oh my God. Okay, hang on. All right.
Do you need one of those CDs?
Massive psychic damage. It's like, well, hang on. I have support from them. I still pay for it. So it's like, you pay them?
Oh my God.
You really shouldn't be doing that. Let me, like, come on. I feel obligated to say something.
Never mind. You don't have a 7-Eleven. Just go there. Buy Google Play gift cards.
Put them in the mail to Riyadh. It's okay. Look, whatever. Yeah. So anyway, this person in, I'm not going to say best of luck, hey, good luck finding a new job, I guess. I don't know.
Sorry about that. Yeah. A hearty sorry about that from What a Time to Be Alive.
I bet the company that lost the money was probably evil, right?
Multinational corporation, odds are.
In the hands of more evil people now, but you know, whatever.
Hopefully he was able to throw down a Pobody's Nerfect and he was all set.
Yep.
You know. Ha ha ha, we love it.
Like, all right, you got your job back, right. Okay, all right. Get out of here.
Get out of here. All right, get back to work. That's fine.
Yeah,
it's
fine. You're fine.
Hey, can you real quick just wire another $5 million to No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Yeah, I'm fucking with you. I saw your face. No, no, no. I saw
it's
your
me.
Face.
It's really me. It's really me. Yeah. Let's do plugs.
Plugs.
Become a subscriber at patreon.com/whatatimepod for weekly bonus episodes and much more. And head to whatatimepod.com/links for our merch store, Discord, and more. Follow Patty, Kath, and Eli on Twitter and Instagram at Patty Mo, at Kath Barbadoro, and at Eli Uden. And check out Kath's other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters, wherever you get your podcasts. Here's where you can see us doing stand-up this week.
Jordan, you want to go first? What you got to plug?
Oh, God, I would love to. Yes, thank you. You mentioned at the top of the show that I am the author of an upcoming graphic novel. It is called Youth Group. It is a YA horror comedy with art by the great Bowen McGurdy. It is the story of a bunch of goofy teenage exorcists who are in a kind of ridiculous teen Bible study group. And after they're done talking about abstinence and saying no to drugs, they have to go out and fight actual demons. So, yeah, it is coming out this July, but pre-orders are up now. You can do that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local indie bookstore, or bit.ly/youthgroupbook. bit.ly/youthgroupbook. You can go there, see the cover, check out a couple of the pages, got all your pre-order links there. Youth group, if it sounds like a cool idea, please give it a pre-order. That is very helpful for books. I'm not sure why, but it is.
This sounds like a great book to give if you have like religious family members who have like a cool kid.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like a great gift to sort of smuggle under the nose of the of the religious parents.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's about youth group. It's about youth
Come
group.
On, Come they're on. Fine. Yeah, yeah. I think it is. I hopefully it is a fun romp for the believer and non-believer alike. It roasts the religious, but it you know, hopefully doesn't go too hard with love. Yeah. A loving roast to those wacky goofballs. yes, and you know, I'll point this out too. I was thinking about this. What a great time to be releasing a book for teenagers that roasts the religious. I'm sure everything will go great with this book. I'm sure no one will want to ban it from school libraries.
Look, I'm sure becoming a political football is probably huge for sales. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen,
address off the grid, you know, you're all set.
Yes, I know, right? Yes. Can I hide myself while also enjoying the bonus sales from liberals who are buying it on principle? No, so listen, we don't want anybody to ban this thing. Hey, hopefully kids can get it at their local library and enjoy the thrilling tale of goofy religious exorcists. But, you know, if you do feel like you want to buy it on principle, you know, to really, really stick it to the Fox News set, I ain't going to stop you. bit.ly/youthgroupbook. Preemptively buy it on principle, I say.
It's your moral obligation.
It is your moral obligation. Thank you. Yes.
Megyn Kelly is going to be furious just thinking about it. So,
yeah. Yeah. Do it to piss off Megyn Kelly. bit.ly/youthgroupbook.
Just think, she'll get the daily article they write about whatever she says on her podcast that appears in the New York Post could be about you. So,
Listen. Do we want that? No. But can you, the listener, fight that by pre-ordering it? bit.ly/youthgroupbook.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I have come to paid protest March 1st, 7:30 at Silo in Bushwick. It's gonna be a really fun one. We have a good lineup picked out for it. March 1st, 7:30. You can get tickets at the door or online. I think that's all I have to plug. Patty?
I got nothing. So check that out. Check out Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's a good show. I enjoyed it.
That's good.
Yeah, that's not really a plug so much as a thing that you might like. Thanks.
Oh yeah, that's my other plug. Four Lions on Tubi. I said it earlier, but I want to say it again. Really good movie. Satire about terrorism. Delightful. Chris Morris. Anyway, Four Lions on Tubi. Anything else? Are we done?
I think we're done.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jordan.
Bye. Thank you. This was fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye.